On a brilliantly sunny recent day at Oakland Beach in Warwick, waves from Narragansett Bay splash against sea rocks, a few sailboats bob in the distance, and scores of people enjoy the chance to be outside. But the head of Save the Bay, Jonathan Stone, is thinking about a very different kind of situation at Oakland Beach from the summer of 2013.
This beach was closed for half the summer last year, and it wasn't closed because of pollution from Providence. It was closed because of local pollution, a significant source of which is cesspools.
Here's the problem. A cesspool is basically a hole in the ground into which raw sewage is pumped or piped. The sewage then seeps into groundwater and makes its way to the bay, causing elevated bacterial levels that make water unsafe for swimming. The state outlawed the installation of any more cesspools almost 50 years ago, and then in 2007, the state mandated their removal within 200 feet of the coastline. Most people don't give a second thought to what happens to their waste once they flush their toilets. But when it comes to the politics of sewage, Warwick is a battlefield, and the fight is complicated. Save the Bay backs a bill to gradually eliminate the 2,500 or so remaining cesspools in the city. Jonathan Stone says getting rid of the lingering cesspools is a matter of doing the right thing.
People in Rhode Island really care about Narragansett Bay, and we live here because of this beautiful resource, and sort of our right when we're in Rhode Island is to enjoy what the bay has to offer, swimming and fishing and shell fishing. And Warwick has been one of those communities that has not had the benefit of those values that we hold so dear here.
Warwick is Rhode Island's second largest city, but back in the 1950s and 60s, Warwick was more rural, and city leaders decided not to seek the plentiful federal money available at that time to build costly sewer systems. Fast forward to 2014, and there are still parts of Warwick without sewers. The cost of tying into the city's sewer system varies sharply by location, $10,000 to $15,000 on the low end to more than $30,000. That kind of expense, combined with a history of problems at the Warwick Sewer Authority, has sparked sharp opposition from residents like Robert Durand. Durand's home has a septic system, not a cesspool, but he's a leader in opposing mandatory tie-ins to the city's sewer system.
I have sat with 80-year-old women who tell me they're going to have to move when the sewers come in because they can't afford them. And yet the sewer authority and the mayor say build sewers to bail them out. We say no.
And Durand says the problem of sewage in the bay is caused by more than just cesspools.
There are a couple reasons why the bay is polluted. Not the least of which, we have storm drain runoffs in the city. There's like 800 of them, storm drains. We're not in compliance with DEM regulations. They just hired an engineer to start monitoring that to what's going into the bay, all those pollutants. Over 800 storm drains.
Warwick Mayor Scott Avedisian acknowledges the storm drain pollution problem and that extending sewers to some parts of the city is just too costly to be realistic. That helps to explain why this fight is being waged at the State House. Avedisian thinks a bill backed by Save the Bay to phase out cesspools is the way to go.
The bigger issue is the cesspools. I mean, they are created without a bottom. Pumping a cesspool doesn't do anything because it's all going to leach out anyway. So the issue really is making sure that a cesspool phase-out bill really does get passed so that we can better protect all of our water features.
Yet Avedisian concedes that only about a third of the roughly 2,500 Warwick homes with cesspools would now be able to tie into a sewer system, and that's if the residents in those homes are willing to make the change. The bill supported by Save the Bay and Avedisian would require homeowners to take responsibility for removing a cesspool when they sell their home. But the bill attracted strong opposition from the Rhode Island Association of Realtors in the last session, and the legislation died in the state Senate. Realtors Association spokeswoman Monica Staff says options like low-interest loan programs need to be expanded to help home sellers get rid of cesspools. She says the state's battered economy remains an important factor.
When you see people, sellers selling their homes at a loss, still as we emerge from that difficult market, it's not as though the sellers are sitting on huge nest eggs that they can dip into. And so without either low-interest loans and tax credits, as Massachusetts has, it's just hard to see how that really works in real life.
The cesspool debate is a familiar topic for Warwick State Representative Joseph McNamara. He's spoken up for the concerns of elderly residents worried about five-figure sewer expenses. And as the top cheerleader for the bill-making calamari, Rhode Island's official appetizer, McNamara says he also recognizes the need to protect the environment. In his case, McNamara was happy to tie in with sewers at his home in Gaspee Plateau back in the 80s, since an old cesspool in his backyard was collapsing.
We're thrilled because when you have a cesspool or you're limited to your laundry, maybe doing one laundry a day, and when you have four people and two young children, sometimes it requires more than doing one laundry a day, so we were very pleased.
But when it comes to the fight over eliminating cesspools in Warwick, things are rarely that simple. McNamara and Save the Bay's Jonathan Stone are hopeful that legislation to phase them out will move forward, but if and when that will happen remains unclear. Ian Donis, Rhode Island Public Radio.